Hi, I'm Janelle Moretti.
And I'm Matt Moretti, the third.
We're married.
Obviously.
And that's nice, but we love all things Disney and we want to share our magical experiences with you.
Each week, we'll take you backstage to our lives as Disney parents / adult children, to our passion for the Disney parks and beyond.
And share some tips and tricks that might help you experience the magic that makes us feel like kids again every time we stroll down Main Street, USA.
This is the Mo Magic Hour Podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Mo Magic Hour Podcast. I, of course, am Matt, and with me, as always, is my scrumptious wife, Janelle. I say scrumptious because tasty food is on the brain. That means we had to have just visited Epcot.
Epcot.
The experimental community of tomorrow. Yeah, is that it?
You forgot the P.
What's the P?
Prototype.
Dang, I just figured the P was like part of experimental. Experimental?
Nope.
No.
Experimental prototype community of tomorrow.
It's close.
Not close.
It's close.
But yet, so far, you got Epcot.
So, anyway, this past weekend, we made a trip down to our summer home and visited Epcot with our park reservation. And this week's going to be a bit of a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Not to say our experience wasn't phenomenal. It was, with some caveats. There were some challenges. The food, as always, is great. Food and Wine Festival is
still going.
Kind of crossed over slightly still with Flower and Garden.
But not for long, because officially, September 1st, Food and Wine Festival merch come out. So if you're going to Epcot after that, yay you.
And the Flower and Garden merch is 30% off.
Yeah, I think so.
At the Flower and Garden stands.
And there's still a lot.
Still a lot.
Yes.
Interesting choices this year with the merch.
Yeah.
But
looks like Food and Wine is going to be a big Figment thing, as it typically is. And, of course, Flower and Garden was Orange Bird and the Bee. I forget the bee's name,
yes. A lot of buzzing.
Yeah.
Keep seeing that phrase around, buzzing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Flower and Garden always is sort of the redheaded stepchild to Food and Wine anyway. So, if you ask me.
It's like a second place Food and Wine.
Right.
I would say it seems like a lot of people enjoy the Festival of the Arts a lot. So, I would like to hit that one time. But anyway.
So let's get into it.
Yes.
Epcot, of course, at present, doesn't open until 11.
Yes.
Like we've talked about in the past, the parks are still staggered in their opening. Epcot's the last of the four major parks to open on a given day. So Epcot opens at 11, then I forget what the order is, 10, 9, and 8 in that order beforehand.
10 is Hollywood Studios, 9 is Magic Kingdom, 8 is Animal Kingdom.
And then they all close an hour apart. So Epcot closes the latest and backwards. Which, you know, there's a variety of reasons why they're doing that. You know, it's all probably logistical and to help manage crowds. So we arrive at Epcot, a park that we've sort of joked is the most strenuous park with a lack of cover, a lot of sun. We're arriving during the hottest part of a Florida day. They are starting to let a little more people into the parks. We noticed that arriving at opening, maybe naively we thought because they're not letting as many people in, it wouldn't be as packed, but it was.
Well, I also think they didn't have a handle on the whole reservation system because they started releasing more reservations to pass holders now. They did like two releases before we came this weekend, and that was another thing. It was Epcot, kind of Food and Wine Festival on the weekend. So the weekends are typically more crowded, obviously, because the locals don't have to go to work. So they want to try and hit the parks, and now with everything becoming more available to them, of course, it's going to seem more packed than it has been in the past for coronavirus time.
Right.
That doesn't mean to say that, you know, it's definitely not back to normal.
Right.
I would say, but.
So what we observed.
It was just more surprising when we pulled up and saw.
A line.
Yeah, that many cars compared to Magic Kingdom the week previous.
So what we observed when we, once we parked, we were still parked really close to the entrance of the park. But there's a little bit of a bottleneck at Epcot where it's real easy to get bunched into a crowd. So for the socially conscious among us, we made sure to do our best to stay 6 feet from the nearest party.
Yeah.
The line, they don't have the ground marked all the way out to the parking lot, but they do begin marking the 6 feet apart, please wait here, lines on the ground. Fairly far away from the main entrance, and some of us followed it, some of us didn't. You know, it's going to be a battle no matter what time of year you go right now. It's just, people are still getting conditioned to it.
Yeah.
Got through the temperature check, and there's another slight bottleneck towards the bag check. And they hadn't been being as thorough with bag checks. This time they were a little more. Which is a little more comforting to me. I know I kind of make a comment every time to Janelle that I wish they were more thorough with the bag checks, especially recently. So they were this time around. And, you know, again, that creates, you know, some people getting huddled near each other, which is a challenge. So
I also think where they have it,
if
you think of where they have it in Epcot versus, like, where it is in Animal Kingdom. There's so much space in front of that front entrance at like Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom. Whereas Epcot, because of the construction and everything, there's really not. So I think cast members were trying to do their best to like get everybody to stay 6 feet apart and stuff, but it's kind of there, it was kind of hard to avoid.
Yeah, so, you know, once you get through all of that, the massive renovation going on in, you know, the main area when you first arrive at Epcot is pretty overwhelming. It really redirects a lot of traffic in a lot of ways you're not used to. We had to sort of relearn how to get around from that side of the park. We made some bad guesses, thinking we'd be able to come out at one area, and we didn't.
I would say if you're going to Epcot and you're planning on staying the entire day because it does go until 9, you know, you don't have little ones that you need to get to bedtime, I would say maybe wait a little bit. Don't go right at opening or close to opening because, you know, the other parks, because they open so much earlier, you know, people aren't moving yet that much. But with Epcot, it's 11 a.m. Like, people are up, out, ready. Nobody had to, like, wake up early to get ready and go. So I think everybody kind of went at the same time, whereas maybe if you wait until 1 and go at 1, you might not run into that
rush bigger crowd. To get in, right. No, that's a good point. And so when we're arriving, there's a relatively good crowd pretty much anywhere around you as you enter the park. Spaceship Earth, the two shops that are right there and outside of Spaceship Earth, the restrooms are right there. Guest services is right there. So there's a lot going on in that small area. So which leads me to my suggestion is if you can, and you can figure it out logistically, it's a little easier if you're in a resort staying there. It's a little harder for pass holders. If you can find your way to a boat if they're running or the Skyliner.
I would even say if you could even Uber to Beach Club or Yacht Club or Boardwalk.
Right. You'll have to get creative, but if you can find your way onto the Skyliner to be let off in the backside of Epcot, you're going to run into a much, much, much more manageable crowd.
Yeah.
Because after we dealt with the stress of the front of the park and made our way into the World Showcase rather quickly, and probably the quickest we ever had zipped to the back of the World Showcase, there's nobody back
there.
The crowd is extremely thin. So if you can find your way back there and find a way to be let off on the backside of the park, either be it via the Skyliner or the boats. Like I mentioned, it's going to be way easier if you're staying at a resort. You can make your way to a resort that's on the Skyliner route and get on the Skyliner and get to that backside of Epcot. If you start your day back there, it's going to be a lot smoother of a transition. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I like the Skyliner. It's fun.
I love the Skyliner.
Despite the negative press it got early on.
Yeah, well, it had some issues early on. It kind of deserved that negative press.
But I think they've recovered nicely. Nice breeze up there, good view.
I would say if it looks stormy outside.
Maybe not.
Maybe don't hop on the Skyliner.
So do you have to, like, hold it up if there's lightning and stuff in the area?
Yeah, so like, you might the Skyliner will stop.
Yeah.
And if you're on it, you're just kind of...
You're on it.
You're on it.
You're along for the ride.
Yeah.
But again, you know, good weather, which we get a lot of in the Orlando area, in Jacksonville area where we are. Mm-hmm. You always get that one afternoon storm.
Every day.
So be ready.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, because of all that chaos early in that first hour for us, we had some struggles with the heat, especially Janelle, and I'll let her talk about that. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of... quickly made our way around to the Paris area where we went, if we're heading from the main entrance of Epcot, we went left, Mexico, mm-hmm. Norway, all the way around.
Well, because our plan sort of was to go to...
Frozen Ever After.
Frozen Not, first.
Is it called... did I just say the show, or is that the ride? Frozen Ever After.
No, you said the ride.
Okay.
Yeah. So our plan was to go to Frozen first. Mm-hmm. But the wait was already at what?
It was 45 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah.
In the first hour.
And see, you know, that's not that bad when you're talking about inside the show building. Mm. But that line was way out the show building, and I was already anxious, and it was just heading down a bad path, and then with a toddler...
Right.
We just didn't want to do it. So we right. just kind of kept going.
Right.
And decided if we come back to it, we come back to it. If not, we're pass holders.
Yep. So we hoofed it pretty quickly over to France, sort of the Paris setting. Yeah.
Well, we had to stop in Germany first.
Yep. To take a breath.
I just needed a breather. My anxiety was flaring because with my MS and then having a toddler and then getting into that situation and it's hot, it completely kind of threw me off. Mm-hmm. So I just needed to take a moment and just, you know, be over in the corner and sit down, be stationary so that I could take my mask off just to take some deep breaths. Mm-hmm. And also my mask wasn't helping because for some reason... I was trying to take deep breaths, like, calm myself down, but my mask kept, like, going against my mouth, so I was, like, suffocating. Mm. And, yeah, it was really hot that day. But then we kept going.
Yep.
Like Matt said, we got over to France.
We paused in France. We got Janelle.
I got my slush.
Janelle wine slushy and Riley a scoop of ice cream.
Or and gelato, just sat on a... Yeah, we sat on a bench.
Found a great breeze.
Oh, amazing breeze.
And then recouped.
Yeah.
Recharged and got back on the...
Pathway.
The old dusty trail.
Yeah.
Down and we had the Cronut. We stopped in Canada. We had...
We so lovingly named it the Fronut.
Because it's frosted.
No, because it was fake.
Well, it was...
Oh, I guess it would be the... No, it would be the Fonut. Fonut? Fronut?
Fonut would be the proper term for fake. Fronut would be the frosted Cronut.
Yeah, so I guess it was both.
Fro and faux.
Yeah, fro and faux.
So, look, it was... Well, it was technically a Cronut. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Cronut.
It wasn't the Cronut.
Still good.
It kind of, to me, just looked like a square Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
I didn't taste it, so I don't know how it tasted, but that's what it looked like to me.
Right. I think had it not been frosted, glazed is probably the better term to use.
Glazed.
Had it not been glazed and it had been prepared in the similar style as the more famous cousin.
The OG.
Then it would have met the bill. But the We're going to get real into food science here. Oh, the glaze felt like it made the whole pastry a little more heavy. Mm-hmm. Whereas
I can see that.
The traditional cronut is a flaky, fluffy croissant, and you can taste it that way. So yeah. It's all quiet.
Like this
all,
was more edging on donut, where much, the other one was edging yes. on croissant.
On the scale of croissant to donut, the scale slid closer to donut in this iteration,
yeah.
whereas on the previous.
But as a cronut lover slash need it back into your life, did it help fill the void a little bit?
If the OG is a 8.5 on a scale of 1 to 10, this one was a 6.
Okay.
So it's adequate. It filled the void.
Would you get it again?
Probably not.
No?
No, probably not. But, you know,
it is what it is.
It filled the hole, and that's all we need.
Yeah.
So moving on. Onward and upward.
Onward and upward. So next we headed towards...
I think we went to the shops.
Did we?
Yes, Port of Entry and Port of... There's two there.
Port of Entry and something.
I forget the other one.
I forget the other one. They're all the
they're
time.
They're the exact same layout. They're next to each other.
Yes.
And they sell different things.
Yes.
So it gets confusing.
Yes. And it was blazing at that time.
Yes.
I remember it being particularly yes. hot at that moment.
We found the Epcot Been There mug from Starbucks.
Yes.
So Janelle snagged that.
Mm-hmm.
And around the time Janelle was in line, yet again, Mickey decided to drive by.
Every time when I'm in line, Mickey
so
drives by.
I scooped up Riley and did a quick jog outdoors.
Jog? You sprinted down the road.
To get ahead of the little buggy that they drive in, mm-hmm. and so Riley could get a look at his pal Mickey. And
yeah,
it's a much more intimate look at Epcot. You are on top of them.
I mean, yeah,
it's the crowds are fairly dispersed at the World Showcase, so it's there's really no one next to you, so you get a pretty one-on-one look with Mickey and Minnie are in the car, and Goofy and Pluto are up ahead walking.
Yeah,
so that was pretty cool. He liked that. So once we wrapped that up, our little gift shop stop, we hopped down to the Seas with Nemo and friends.
We did.
And boy, did Riley enjoy that.
He's starting
to like look around and like take in the rides mm-hmm. and like anticipate
that
things are coming.
He's definitely starting to recognize too the movies he watches at home.
Yeah.
And like put them together.
And the things that like he starts to look at. I see him start yeah. like looking ahead down the line of the ride trying
coming.
To see what's coming next.
Yeah.
So that's cute. It's awesome.
Yeah. He sat in the middle of us in the little Clam-mobile.
Yeah. And then
it was very cute.
Afterward, I was really surprised with how locked into the aquarium he was.
Yeah, he was. The aquarium is such a great spot, especially for toddlers.
Yeah.
I would say pre-COVID,
it
was great
when
because
you can just let them run
yeah. in air conditioning in Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say let them run, but like...
Supervise
and control your kids. But he really enjoyed...
Being up in the windows
yeah.
and looking at the fish.
Yeah.
He was looking around.
He liked looking at the dolphin.
He liked the dolphin.
That was a spot we ran into, though, some social distancing issues.
Yeah. Once you got into...
You know, it's not kids' fault, because kids see a dolphin and stuff, and they're excited, and they want to go look in the window, too.
Once you get down to, like, the observation deck in the round,
mm-hmm.
there's not a whole lot of policing of the social distancing down there.
Yeah.
So it gets...
I would say be self-aware.
Yes, be self-aware. We sort of hustled through that.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't...
There just started becoming so
yeah,
many people.
Yeah, it got a little congested.
And it was
so
hard.
We hustled around there. Riley kept wanting to stop. We felt kind of bad, but...
Well, then we took him inside that one room.
We took him into a room with some smaller aquariums.
You know, where the clownfish was.
Hanging out with the other blue tangs.
Yeah.
The Marlin and Dory's tanks.
Yeah.
And he ate that up. He knew exactly what he was looking at.
Yeah, he did. He was, like, locked in to
yeah.
those two fish.
I mean, Pixar did a good job of not overly cartoon-ish-ing those types of fish, so he can tell what they were.
Oh, yeah, he could. He kept wanting to climb up like there and, like, get up against the glass.
Yeah. So that was awesome. And then we sort of wrapped all that up. There's one more sort of smaller aquarium piece downstairs,
yeah,
where there's more blue tangs and clownfish.
And a video board.
And a video board that
That's
Riley...
That's not real.
May have confused as a real aquarium.
Yeah.
It's just a...
Just stood there and stared at it.
as the computer-generated fish swam by.
Yes.
And then, unfortunately, the little play place is closed for now. And we made our way through the gift shop, uh-huh, to exit, and Riley made his selection, yeah, for the trip. He, yeah, walked right up to the shelf and grabbed... I don't know what we call those things. They're not... Are they bath toys?
They're like...
They?
No, they're just... Like, I would say toddler play sets, because technically his other figures, yeah, are for older kids, so these, yeah, are more for toddlers.
They're rubber. They don't do anything. They're not posable.
No.
They're
just
solid
thicker,
state.
So it's easier, yeah, for little hands to hold that, yep, aren't so intricate.
Their arms and legs don't move. They're rubber. They're one piece.
Yeah, it's just little characters.
Yep.
And
they're bathtub safe.
You know, he has Star Wars ones.
Yep, this particular package had Mr. Incredible,
yeah, it was
Nemo,
a Pixar one.
Sully. Yeah, I'm going to forget
Buzz
that.
And
Buzz
Woody.
And Woody. So a good crew,
yeah,
there.
So he saw his favorites, and, mm-hmm, he places them in the basket, oh, according to favorite.
Yeah. So
Buzz always comes out first.
Yep.
Sully comes next.
Yep.
Then Woody.
Yep.
Then Nemo.
Yep.
Then Mr. Incredible.
Yep. He'll come around to Mr. Incredible. The humanoids, he's not quite there yet.
Just keep trying.
Someday.
Yeah, someday.
So, yeah, I mean, that was around the time we decided we needed to go find something to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had our stroller had a prime parking spot.
Oh, phenomenal parking spot. So we weren't going to give that up. Shaded beneath a tree. We weren't going to give that up. So we hopped right over to the land, mm-hmm, for a quick trip on Janelle's favorite ride of all parks.
No, it's not. I just enjoy it. I'm allowed to enjoy rides.
It's a fine ride through.
Living with the land, yeah, is just...
It's a fine break.
So nice.
And it allowed
us... And colorful, and I love it.
It allowed us to whip out...
And very calming.
It's very calming. It allowed me to whip out my phone and order lunch from... I'm going to blank on
Sunshine Seasons.
Sunshine Seasons. Ordered a couple power salads. I recommend it. Janelle wasn't feeling well, so maybe it was a little skewed.
I think it was skewed.
But I liked it a lot. Cranberries, almonds, lettuce, chicken. Good, good, mm-hmm, little meal. Honey vinaigrette.
Yeah.
Really good. I enjoyed it. So we were able to do the mobile order from the boat. And
in retrospect, I think because I wasn't feeling well, and then looking back at, I should have grabbed something with protein and carbs. So I should have grabbed like a chicken sandwich or...
They do have the chicken sandwiches. They do have burgers.
Yeah.
At Sunshine Seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good kids meal. We got Riley the...
I should have got a kids meal for myself.
Yeah.
The PB&J sandwich.
Yeah.
That's what I should have
got
done.
Got Riley a PB&J, a little apple juice.
Oof.
So we ordered that from the boat. So it was literally pretty good timing. By the time we got off the boat, mm-hmm, and walked over there, our food was ready.
Yeah.
And we were able to show the cast member our app that our food is ready for pickup. We walked past the whole line and picked up our food and went on our way.
Yeah.
You know, Riley had to be changed. He was a little fussy at lunch.
Yeah.
Janelle wasn't feeling well.
I had a pretty bad headache at that point.
I got through my lunch, and we decided at that point it was probably best to make our way towards the exit, just, mm-hmm, for the sake of everyone being safe and healthy.
And it was just really hot.
Yeah.
And
But not without stopping at the Pin Center.
Oh, yeah.
Outside Spaceship Earth, I found...
Well, good thing you did.
Good thing I did, because I found the T-shirt that I wanted that they didn't have my size in the first shop I saw it in.
And
I got an exclusive Epcot Forever Magic Band.
Yeah, that they just came out
just
with.
Just launched it. Right. So can you explain Epcot Forever to me? What's going on with that? Like, what that means?
That was a show. Okay. So it was the nighttime show that replaced Illuminations for the time being.
Mm.
And it's kind of just a culmination of all the different past beloved Epcot things and now and what's to come in kind of the future, moving it forward, but keeping the same kind of vision that Walt had for it.
Yeah, so we didn't see the final illuminations, but it was very near the end when we saw illuminations the last time. It probably only had a week or two left
when
we saw it. And they replaced it with Epcot Forever.
Yeah.
So...
And they're doing a very retro thing in Epcot, and I think that plays into it. It's because it's still kind of timeless, even though it is kind of the retro look and kind of the throwback. So it's more of a timeless thing that's, you know, ever evolving. And, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm a big design guy. So the Magic the Magic Band was a very cool design, black with the 80s colors, the orange and purples with and a pink, nice figment outline on it. Just the right amount of figment for me.
Yeah. Not filled in, not bolded,
right.
Not highlighted.
So, really cool Magic Band.
Yeah, it
now
is
that,
a really
now
cool
that I'm slowly becoming this weird collector of Magic Bands and pins.
Yeah.
But a good trip and quick, shorter than our normal days there, but it needed to be. With good reason.
Yeah.
The weather was, the heat was oppressive that day. We didn't manage it well. Just sort of a cautionary tale type of day.
Yeah. And I also think, I don't want anybody to be scared off by it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was kind of a mixture of all things that we did wrong. But now looking back on it too, by now everybody knows I have MS. Mm-hmm. And every 28 days I have to go get an infusion of my medication. And not even thinking... It was at the end of my prior dosage. Like, I, like, had 2 days, and then I had to go for my infusion, actually, today. So, you know, when I get towards the end of those dosages, I get a little tired. Everything kind of, you know, starts to act up a little bit. So, aggravating it with the anxiety of getting there in the crowds. The heat's really not a good factor, and then not really... eating was a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
But that was on me. And I should have recognized that. So I don't want anybody to be scared off, like thinking, oh my gosh, we are avoiding Epcot. That is not the case and not what we're telling you at all. We're just telling you this is all about our triumphs and our fumbles in. The other day was a fumble, and here are our mistakes. Learn from us.
Water. Drink water.
Yeah, drink water. Maybe if you're not feeling great and you have anxiety, maybe don't go for the slush in France right away. Maybe
your first drink of the day should probably not be alcohol.
Yeah, maybe go for water.
Right.
And then go for alcohol.
Yes. So, moving on from Epcot, we're going to rally this weekend. We're heading down to Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Are we?
Yeah.
Is it Hollywood Studios this weekend? Okay, so I need to make sure.
Yeah.
Hollywood Studios, Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
And...
Popcorn Bucket.
Popcorn Bucket. There's a new Popcorn Bucket.
Yes, there's an Onward Popcorn Bucket. It's Guinevere. It has lights on it, and the wheels really turn. So,
cool.
I think it would be fun to get also... for Riley to play with.
So, with that, we decided, what the heck? We haven't measured Riley in a while. Let's get his height.
Oh, yeah.
And we got home and whipped out the tape measure, and he's up to 34 and a half inches.
Yeah.
Which opens up a new category
of rides. A couple of rides! So we're super excited, especially because we're going to Hollywood Studios this weekend. And, you know, it really didn't do anything for us. Back at Epcot, it didn't open anything at Epcot.
Right.
So that actually made me feel better. I didn't want to look back and be like,
We could have gone
on this. No, but he can go on Alien Swirling Saucers, which will be fun because he's our big Toy Story guy. So he likes going on Toy Story Mania with us. So that's exciting. And then there's no height requirement on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, but he hasn't been on it because it opened and then closed right away for COVID. And then when we went back, it was just me and Matt. Riley stayed at home with Nana and Papa. So I'm excited to take him on that and Alien Swirling Saucers because he loves Mickey and Donald. He'll get to go on that. And then he loves Toy Story, so we'll get to experience that. So it should be really fun. And because he's 34 and a half, he's getting so close to more rides. It's like starting to become a countdown situation.
Right.
Because 35 opens up some rides, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
He might be 35 in shoes. Maybe with a tissue or two stuck in there.
Oh, that makes me so nervous because he's so young.
I know. He's like...
I just feel like he'd fly out of everything.
Yeah, maybe. We think he's big for his age, but I don't think
he is.
I have no basis.
No. For, I think he's average.
Yeah, pretty average little fella.
Yeah. But, you know, we haven't really talked about height requirements Mm-mm. and these kind of... I'm going to call these milestones. Yeah. Everybody else is like, oh, my kid's walking. They said this word. I mean, they can count. Those are milestones. Mine are according to Disney height requirements.
Yeah.
Those are milestones.
We have friends with kids who are to us like 40 inches is where it's at.
Yeah.
That's the real game
changer. We're getting so close.
So, yeah, do you want to go into a little bit of that?
And yeah.
Talk through maybe what some of the height requirements
are? We just kind of talked about what he can now do at Hollywood Studios. Now, keep in mind, he's 34 and a half. So, there are a couple of things that are 32 inches, which he can go on. So, like we said, Alien Swirling Saucers and Minnie Mickey don't have a height requirement. It's just newer. So, but also 32 inches is... the Tomorrowland Speedway,
mm-hmm.
he can go on. So that's exciting. Now, he can go on and be a passenger. He can't be a driver because he's not even 2 yet. So
now, let me ask you this. Is there the caveat that just because he's at this height, mm-hmm. he has to sit on his own? Or is this still a can sit on my lap situation, even now that he's tall enough?
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
See, I hadn't thought
Wait,
about
on
that.
On like, are you so, like, specifically saucers. Talking about
for, saucers? For example, he meets the height. Mm-hmm. Does he have to sit on his own?
Were we buckled in saucers?
I don't remember.
Do you remember?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I think it was just a pull down.
He might have to sit on his own then, especially if it's a pull down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he just sits in between us. But as for Tomorrowland Speedway, I think it's a sit-on-your-own situation as well.
Right. So that's where you kind of have to make the judgment call of, is your little one someone who can do that?
Yeah. So he might be tall enough, but is he coordinated enough?
Is he...
Or, like, Alien Swirling Saucers, I'll take him on because all three of us can fit in it and he'll be in between us and I can hold him. Tomorrowland Speedway, I haven't been on that since I was little. I don't mm-hmm. even know if I went on when I was little. So I don't know. I mean, there's always two people to a cart, but as far as two adults and a toddler, I don't know if you can fit. Mm-hmm. So like if it was only like one adult driver and then he would have to sit by himself, I wouldn't feel comfortable taking him on that.
Right.
Because he can't sit in the middle of us, like wedged in between us.
Right.
Kind of like acting as a seatbelt kind of thing.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a great question. But, yeah, it's kind of a parent judgment call.
Yes.
On that. If that is the case with Tomorrowland Speedway and other rides, kind of just be, you know, aware of what your kid can do
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
What's the next threshold?
So that was kind of it for 32 inches.
Yeah, not a ton.
Not a ton, but still great.
You're still looking at a lot of kids who are 2 and under, maybe slightly older than 2, crossing
yeah.
the 32 inch.
And I want to say we're only kind of talking about the main 4 theme parks because there are height requirements at some things at the water park. So like 32 inches, he can go on the chairlift at Blizzard Beach. It's not really a ride. It's just like to get up there kind of thing. But so the next little milestone is 35 inches. There's not a lot, but there is a milestone. So half an inch to go and he can ride the Barnstormer.
Oh boy.
If
his first roller coaster.
His first roller coaster. But I think that's pretty much it for the 35
mm-hmm.
inch. It's like that weird, lonely 35 inch one.
Right.
That's kind of chilling there. Because then, like, the next one's 38.
Right.
And then you get to 40. So I didn't really realize that for 38 inches, 7 Dwarfs Mine Train's on that.
Yeah.
So he was close to going on that.
My opinion of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is skewed because I sat in the front and it, it's one of those where it's that classic roller coaster that you don't want to sit in the front because it's slow.
Yeah, unless you have a toddler, maybe.
Unless you have a toddler. So, then it would so be that, great. That's where it's ideal. You know, it's equal parts roller coaster and ride through. It's almost like they tried to kill both those birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are moments where you ride through. It's almost like a mini watered down Thunder Mountain. You do ride through part in Thunder Mountain.
Yeah. There's more theming to it than Thunder Mountain, I think, just because it's based around a movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's really the only difference.
They're both trains.
Yeah. So, you know, and maybe we're underplaying it. It's an extremely popular roller coaster. The line is always crazy. Maybe I just don't get it.
Yeah. No, that's not to say we don't like it.
From a thrills and twists and turns perspective, I'd say Thunder Mountain's better.
Yeah.
But
I would agree.
The wait's never as long for Thunder Mountain as it is for Seven Dwarfs.
I would take Thunder
and
Space over Seven Dwarfs.
I don't love Space. The more I go on it, the less I like it.
I know. You always go on it, and I don't know why you do.
I don't know.
I love Space.
Yeah. It's not like it bothers me. I do roller coasters that flip and stuff. It's not a problem. It's just something about Space Mountain bugs me.
It's very jerky. It's dark, so you don't know when you're going to be jerked. Whereas, Thunder Mountain, you can see what's about to happen.
Yeah, there's no headrests in Space. Maybe that gets me a little bit. At least Thunder Mountain.
You feel like you're sticking out a lot.
Right. I don't know. It's just something about Space Mountain. And maybe it's because I've never recovered from going on it with the Halloween overlay.
I liked it.
But I hadn't been on Space in so long.
Yeah.
I didn't remember what the actual overlay was.
Yeah.
So when I went on it with the Halloween overlay, it really threw me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to even properly describe what it was versus what it normally is.
I mean, it was just all dark.
Just zero lights.
Zero lights.
And just a screeching sound the whole time.
Yeah, that was kind of overwhelming.
Instead of space sounds. Instead of, space sounds zooming in.
It was just loud noises.
It was just a loud, horror movie-type screeching, grinding sound. Bad. It's bad. Just not great.
Okay, getting back to this. Anyway, we got off on a tangent. But, so 38 inches, he can hit up Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yep.
If the line is short, because Mom and Dad will not be taking him on it if the line is long. But then, what else can he go on? Oh, in my opinion, the better roller coaster, Slinky Dog Dash.
Ooh.
He can go on 38 inches.
Yep.
I'm excited to get him on that because of Wheezy at the end.
Yes,
he loves Wheezy. And I'm so excited for him to see it because we actually sent a video of Wheezy to my parents to show Riley, and he was dancing and excited to see Wheezy. So I'm excited to get him on that. And then the other one, which his dad can take him on, Cali River Rapids.
Yes. Nice.
Mom will sit out and watch items.
It's nice to get drenched once in a while.
Sure.
Good for you. Cool you down.
Good for you. Not me.
Says the person who likes Splash Mountain.
You don't get as wet.
You never know. You might.
You never know. But to me, the pros outweigh that con. Because of the ride-through situation. Cali River Rapids is literally just... Back in my hometown, we would go to Darien Lake, and it was called Six Flags, and then I went back to Darien Lake. Now it's back to Six Flags, and they can't make up the run. Anyway, there's a ride there called Grizzly Run. It's literally the same exact ride. The same exact thing.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
And I don't remember loving it when I was younger, too.
I loved it.
I don't like walking around in hot, humid,
being
wet.
The difference between Darien Lake in Buffalo, New York, or Darien, New York, and Cali River Rapids in Orlando, Florida, is you're going to dry off a little faster.
Maybe. You don't know.
I do know. I've done it.
You don't know because a freaking thunderstorm comes through and it's super humid. Guys, I don't like when my jean shorts are wet. It's so irritating to me. And ladies, I know you agree with me, so.
All right.
Yeah. And you can take them on that by yourself.
With that, the 40-inch threshold sort of just takes the cap off kinda, of everything.
Yeah, kind of opens up pretty much everything except for, like, a few of them. But we won't go over all of them because it's pretty much, like, everything. But, right. Yeah, so we're getting close.
We're getting close.
We're getting close.
Going to take another jaunt to Hollywood Studios this weekend, and we will report back.
I know. I'm so excited.
So with that, should we wrap this one up?
So,
all right.
Do you have anything to add?
Do you have anything to add?
What food are you going to get this week? I already have a list going in my head because I'm learning from last week where I got no food, so this week I'm going to go hard.
I mean, I feel repetitive, but I have to go to Ronto Roasters and get my Ronto wrap. We talked about this a little bit, how we're going to target some snacks here. You know, have we checked if the lunchbox
Woody's is lunchbox open? Isn't
still
open
not
yet.
Open
no,
yet?
No, we haven't hit that yet, and we really want to, but Woody's lunchbox hasn't been open. One we did talk about hitting, if it is open, is Baseline Tap House. We were talking about popping in...
grabbing
their giant pretzel. I mean, whether I get a pretzel there or I have to get a Mickey pretzel, I'm getting a pretzel this weekend.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Because Hollywood Studios is my favorite place to get a Mickey pretzel.
Might revisit the blue milk. Never know.
Maybe. What did we have last time?
We had the green last time.
We did?
Yes.
Yeah, I might revisit the blue too. No, I take it back. I'll let you revisit it and I'll taste it. But I will definitely a pretzel somewhere. You know what I haven't had in a while? My PB&J milkshake.
That's right.
I wonder if I can go into TuneIn Lounge to get that.
I don't know. That's a very tight space. That's a tight space.
I don't even know if the TuneIn Lounge is open.
Right.
Or how... I guess I could...
Another item we'll need to check on and report
back. Yeah, we'll have to report back to see if there's a way to do that. Like, if you have to order from 50's Primetime from the actual restaurant. New mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I'll be going to Docking Bay 7 because that's where I go.
Oh, boy, did we even think about Oga's?
I did.
Did you peek at it? Nothing?
I peeked at it.
Any reses?
Mm-mm.
Wow. They go like hotcakes.
I know. I keep checking.
That's all right. They open up from time to time.
Yeah.
If we can get to Oga's, we'll get to Oga's. It seems like we always run out of time to go to Oga's.
Yeah.
It's always
lately.
Crazy. Yeah.
Lately we have been.
The last few times we've tried to go, we're like, ah, shit. We got something else to do. Let's go. We gotta go somewhere else.
Yeah. But Riley likes Oga's.
He likes
the
dancing robot.
Yeah. The DJ.
Yep. All right, well, we will. We have some homework to do, and we will.
I'm so excited.
Let you know how Hollywood Studios goes next week.
Yeah.
So remember to check out our website, mmhpodcast.com. Of course, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can shoot us an email if you'd like, momagicpodcast@gmail.com. And then, as always, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at momagichour. So for Janelle, I am Matt. And thank you for hanging out with us this week.
Bye.